What's up, world? I'm Cameron McKinney, and this is Pop Culture Spotlight, a podcast about the movie The Beekeeper. Here's a quick synopsis. Adam Clay, a former member of a secret organization known as the Beekeepers, is seeking revenge from a group who scammed his friend and neighbor. The film stars Jason Statham, Josh Hutcherson, Jeremy Irons, Bobby Nadiri, Felicia Rashad, and Minnie Driver. Standout performances. Everyone has strong opinions about actors, and for the longest time, mine on Jason Statham was, I don't get the appeal. I don't understand why this person was famous. But the last few years, he's completely changed my mind with 2021's Wrath of Man, 2023's Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre, and The Beekeeper. And then I went back and watched Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch. And what I've come to like about him is he's clearly self-aware of what kind of leading man he is and what movies work best for his persona. He's an action star who's good at playing stoic or snarky characters. He's not a dramatic actor, and he knows it. He's good at playing these mysterious characters like Adam Clay, and he's also just such a believable action star. Even when he's doing things that are not humanly possible, you buy it. There's no Oscar win in his future, but he's a star in his own right. One of Statham's best quality is selling a movie that doesn't have a good plot. I mean, that's what he does with The Beekeeper. The plot of this movie is nonsense, but he sells the movie because that's the type of star he is. And you know who needs a star like that right now? The Marvel movies. Everyone's watching Marvel movies and talking about how they don't make sense. Nobody would care if they starred Jason Statham as a superhero. You would want to see that movie and you would enjoy seeing that film. I just think Marvel should be in the business of bringing in an actor like Jason Statham if the plot of their movies aren't going to get any better. He's the type of actor who can sell their movies right now. Also, who on earth would say no to a Marvel movie written and directed by Guy Ritchie starring Jason Statham? I mean, that needs to happen. That's the kind of thing that Marvel needs to get to, is to make something just for pure entertainment sakes. And when you need to do that, you go to Jason Statham because he delivers with the kind of movies he makes. It's been really interesting to watch the career of Josh Hutcherson, who at first was a famous child star working with Will Ferrell in Kicking and Screaming, Kristen Stewart in Zathura, and Robin Williams in RV. In the movies he starred in got bigger and bigger. 2007, he's in Bridge to Terabithia. 2008, Journey to the Center of the Earth, along with its sequel Journey to the Mysterious Island. And from 2012 to 2015, he played PETA in the Hunger Games films. I also want to mention one of my favorites of his movies, 2010's The Kids Are All Right. With his last two films, Hutcherson is back in a big way. Last year, he was the lead of the hit horror film Five Nights at Freddy's, which made $297 million, the highest grossing film ever from the horror powerhouse Blumhouse. And what's most impressive is the movie had a day and date release, meaning it was on the streaming service Peacock the same day it was released in movie theaters. That gets us to The Beekeeper, which sees Hutcherson for the first time in his career play a villain, Derek Danforth, and you can tell he's having a lot of fun in his giving a really entertaining performance. He's a great foil for Statham. That's the thing about a Jason Statham movie, is that you have him and you know he's not much of a personality, and I don't mean that as a diss. He brings what he brings to movies, but you want him to be alongside somebody who does bring in a personality, like Brad Pitt in Snatch. Aubrey Plaza brings that in Ruse de Guerre, and now Josh Hutcherson brings that in The Beekeeper. Hutcherson's upcoming movies include Little Mouth with Dennis Quaid and David Thewlis, and Land of Grace with Frank Grillo and Andy Garcia. After watching The Beekeeper, you can debate yourself if Jeremy Irons is playing a villain in the movie, but for the sake of this podcast, I'll say he is, so I can talk about his history playing big bads. In 1994, he voiced Scar in The Lion King, my favorite Disney villain. It's one of the best voice performances of all time. Then a year later, he plays Simon Gruber, who's trying to avenge his brother in Die Hard with a Vengeance. In 2008, he played the lawless rancher Randall Bragg in Appaloosa. Irons, to me, is a larger-than-life figure, and anytime I have a chance to say this, he should have gotten gotten an Oscar nomination for his performance in 2011's Margin Call, I'm going to say it. In The Beekeeper, Irons plays Wallace, who is reluctantly working with Hutcherson's Daniel. The director of The Beekeeper is David Ayer, who first was a screenwriter of the movies Training Day, The Fast and the Furious, and SWAT, and has directed some really good movies. 2012's End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Pena, and Fury with Brad Pitt. Then he did a comic book movie, Suicide Squad, a film I have mixed feelings on, that Ayer believes was ruined by studio interference. And Ayer himself has been on a public crusade to get his cut of the movie released. This, to me, has been my biggest problem with the rise of superhero movies. It hasn't been the quality of the movies. There have been bad superhero movies for a long time now. The problem is what these movies are doing to promising filmmakers. A guy like Ayer makes two really good movies and then gets a chance to make a comic book movie and it doesn't go his way. I will say that Suicide Squad was a massive hit. The movie made more than $900 million, but because it didn't get critical love, his career has taken a hit. It almost reminds me of what happened with Michael Bay with the Transformers movies. Nobody was upset with Michael Bay and his directing style until the Transformers films. We loved Michael Bay. We loved The Rock. We loved Armageddon. Then he takes on a major franchise with Transformers, and everyone's like, this guy needs to stop making movies about robots. And it's also happened with the directors of the Marvel movies. I mean, they're just not getting good career jumps by making these superhero movies, and Ayer is a victim of that. Suicide Squad did not do for his career what he thought it was going to do. Margot Robbie became a star because of Suicide Squad, but it didn't help the director of the film. These superhero movies are not helping directors. That's why the good ones are no longer making them. The only superhero movies that are getting good directors anymore are the ones that star the iconic characters. Superman now has James Gunn. Batman has Matt Reeves. X-Men is probably going to get a really good director for Marvel. If you don't agree with what I'm saying, just look at what happened with the Captain Marvel movies. The directors of those films have been bashed. I mean, Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden have made really good movies. The one movie that didn't work out for them was Captain Marvel. And then The Marvels, its sequel, had Nia DaCosta, who's made really good films. Yet, the Marvel movie she made was not well received. And when stuff like that happens, it makes it so really good filmmakers don't want to make superhero movies. And I think that's a big reason why the movie's qualities themselves are declining rapidly. The days of somebody like Chloe Zhao winning an Oscar and then immediately making a Marvel movie are gone. That's probably never going to happen again. And so because of what happened with Suicide Squad, David Ayer has become obsessed with his own director's cut. I mean, it's reminiscent of Zack Snyder with the Snyder Cut, and we all know how that ended. The Snyder Cut was released, no harm, no foul, I guess. It was just really an annoying time for the internet, all of the people that wanted to see the Snyder Cut. Will we ever see David Ayer's cut of Suicide Squad? I don't know. I don't know if I want to see that movie. Jared Leto might get more screen time as Joker, but who really cares at this point? Let's get back to The Beekeeper. It's one of those wild movies with an insane premise that isn't logically believable at all. It's like the Michael Bay movies I love, The Rock and Armageddon, and I get that can bother people when you don't believe what's on screen is possible at all, yet these movies and The Beekeeper have real entertainment value. No, we won't be talking about it in 20 years as a masterpiece, but it is a movie that many, many people will rewatch over and over again because it's a film you want to talk about with other people. I'll give you the perfect example of one of those kind of movies, National Treasure. National Treasure is not a very good movie, but we still talk about it because Nicolas Cage stars as a guy who wants to steal the Declaration of Independence. I mean, that's a wild film, and it's the reason that we keep talking about that movie because it has an insane premise and it's over the top bonkers. That's the type of movie that we're talking about when we're talking about The Beekeeper. Like with National Treasure, you're never going to get bored watching The Beekeeper. It's interesting. It keeps you on your toes. You don't really know where it's going because, again, it's a confusing plot, but that's part of the entertainment of it. Box office. And the biggest way you can tell that this is a type of movie that audiences want is by looking at its results at the box office. The Beekeeper made $152 million on only a $40 million budget, making it currently the fifth highest grossing movie of the year so far. People love serious movies about real life topics, and they want movies about people they can relate to, but they also want escapism from movies they watch, and that's what The Beekeeper offers. I'll say this, as somebody who watches a lot of movies, it can sometimes be taxing if all you're watching are serious dramas about heady subject matters. Sometimes you just need to put on a movie that doesn't make your mind think all that much, and that's The Beekeeper. The Beekeeper is a movie you're going to go, wow, I can't believe this exists. In the first 5 minutes, you're already like, what is this? And then you fully accept the movie for what it is, a fun time. I am someone who thinks more movies like this should exist because they have a winning formula. A lot of people want to see movies like this. They do well at the box office, and there are plenty of actors who can do what Jason Statham is doing in this movie. We have the Gerard Butlers of the world. You have the Rock, who could definitely be in a movie like this. The victory here is this is a movie that, like I said, only cost $40 million to make, and yet it made $152 million. That's a profit if you've ever seen one. And that's become the big issue with these big blockbusters that have tons of CGI. They are plummeting so much money into them that they need to be massive, massive hits to gain a profit. When the simple answer is all you really need is a movie star like Jason Statham to sell your insane premise. That's what you need. And then you surround him with really good actors like Josh Hutcherson and Jeremy Irons. Basically, what I'm saying is go back to making just pure action movies. Cut out the insane CGI, make it look like the people are in rooms together with one another, and then get movie stars. Sign the Keanu Reeves of the world to star in action movies. I'm so hyped that Ryan Gosling is becoming an action star right before our very eyes. Jake Gyllenhaal is in Roadhouse. Dev Patel is in Monkey Man, a movie that I'm going to talk about on this very podcast soon. I mean, there's clearly an appetite for action movies and these kind of movie stars. I also just think people are tired of thinking about things in terms of franchises. You watch The Beekeeper and you go to yourself, yeah, I would probably watch a sequel to this movie if Jason Statham came back, but I'm just so glad that they weren't building to that in the movie. This could be a one-off film. That it was all it needed to be. It was a fun action movie with a movie star performance from Jason Statham doing his signature thing, nothing more, nothing less. You got a really good performance from Josh Hutcherson and Jeremy Irons, and you had a really good time watching it. I got everything I needed from the movie The Beekeeper. And now, after I'm done recording this podcast, I may never think about this movie again. But that's okay. A movie doesn't need to be in your mind 24/7. And it was really special what the Marvel movies became. They became movies you watched, and then you were thinking, wow, I wonder what the next movie is going to be. I think we're all sick and tired of thinking, what's the next movie going to be? We just want to enjoy the movie that we are watching. And thankfully, you can do that with The Beekeeper. I believe I mentioned this on the Roadhouse podcast, but I'll mention it again. I do think that the issue with a movie like The Beekeeper is Jason Statham is the selling point. We all have a history with Jason Statham. But I believe a big problem moving forward is there are no young action stars out there. Once the Jason Stathams, the Liam Neesons, the Tom Cruises of the world are done making action movies, where do we go to next? I mean, it's possible that in 15 years, years' time, there'll be no actors to star in a movie like The Beekeeper. There might be no one to take the mantle from an actor like Jason Statham. I'm sure one will emerge, but I think Hollywood should really be on a mission to create new and young action stars so they can have a future with making movies like The Beekeeper, so they can make movies like Roadhouse. Yes, it's great that these movies are doing well and a lot of people are watching them, but what do these movies really mean for the future of movies? You have Jason Statham, who's well established. You have Jake Gyllenhaal, who's well established. Who will be starring in these type of movies 10 years down the line? That's the question that I need answered. And I've always wondered that about recent action films. Are they only doing well because of the movie stars that are starring in them? Like, is the John Wick franchise just about how much we all love Keanu Reeves? Or would John Wick have become a hit movie no matter who the star of that film was? I think it's more about the former. I think the success of the John Wick movies was all about how much we all love Keanu Reeves, because we grew up watching him, we loved him in the Matrix movies, and we wanted him to become culturally relevant again. So we all watched these super well-made films. Now, they would have been well-made without Keanu Reeves, but I think the reason we all love the John Wick films is because of Keanu Reeves. And my fear is we won't be getting John Wick-type movies without a figure like Keanu Reeves. There is no young star right now who has their own action franchise. I mean, remember when I was growing up, Matt Damon had the Bourne movies. He was a massive star who was starring in movies like Good Will Hunting, and then he had his own action franchise. There is no star that has that right now. The two who have franchises are Tom Cruise and Keanu Reeves, and they're not going to be action stars forever. There's going to have to be new action stars who emerge. The point I'm trying to make is I'm really trying to enjoy movies like The Beekeeper while I can, because I'm not sure there's going to be a Jason Statham type actor making these kind of movies in 10 years' time. So, like me, you should really enjoy these type of movies. And I don't want to continue to harp on its box office success, but it is insane to think about the fact that The Beekeeper has made more money than both The Mean Girls remake and Madam Web. Also, Argylle. I mean, these were movies that were highly anticipated. I hadn't even heard that The Beekeeper was coming out until it was out. That's the power of Jason Statham. That's the power of these type of stars, the Gerard Butlers of the world. They just come out of nowhere with a new movie and people flock to them because they know what they're going to get. There is real consistency to them. Yes, I know there are people out there that want to be surprised by every single movie that they see, but there are also people who just want to see something they are used to. They just want to have that pleasant feeling of watching a movie and knowing exactly what you are watching. And that's what Jason Statham provides with most of his movies. And I do think his stick works best when he's working with directors like David Ayer or like Guy Ritchie, directors who really know what they are doing, like really good filmmakers who are capable of making better movies, but are mastering these type of B-movies. That's what Wrath of Man was. Wrath of Man is like a really good B-movie for Guy Ritchie. And you could say the exact same thing about The Beekeeper. Yes, they're two movies that feel like movies you've seen before, but they're made well. I mean, that's what people want. At the end of the day, they just want to see well-made movies. And that's what The Beekeeper is. It's a well-made movie with a well-known star actor and other actors who you know. People really like movies with silly plots that make zero sense. I mean, Independence Day is one of the most beloved movies of all time. Is it really a masterpiece? Absolutely not. It's just a movie with an insane premise. That's what this movie feels like. It feels like a Roland Emmerich movie. It feels like a Michael Bay movie. And at times it feels like a Tony Scott movie. These are directors who made really well-made, silly movies that you can watch over and over and over again. I think it's just good for the culture to have movies like this. Movies that we can universally go, yes, these are good movies, we can watch them, we can enjoy them, and then we can be done with them. We don't have to have a never-ending conversation about every single movie we watch. And not every movie has to have a secret meaning to it. Not every movie has to be insightful and say something about the times we are living in. Some movies can just be pure entertainment. And if you are looking for that kind of movie, then boy, do I have a movie for you. It's The Beekeeper, starring Jason Statham. Thanks for listening to this edition of Pop Culture Spotlight. I'm Cameron McKinney, and there'll be a new episode of the podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I highly, highly recommend you check out The Beekeeper. Next week on the podcast, I'm talking about Monkey Man, directed by and starring Dev Patel. So tune into that, and please rate, review, and subscribe.